Mr. Briggs, I guess we go back to staff.
Yes, some final recommendations in response to all the comments we've received today.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to request that we have a couple of minutes just to provide some broad closing remarks and then entertain any suggestions you might have to address the request of the city.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Offline, that is. We want to confer for a couple of minutes, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right.
Can we take a break for 5 minutes?
Sure.
See, how about reports? Can we move on to the next item?
Sure. You ready?
Yeah.
Go back to nine.
Go back to nine.
Thank you for that recess. We made good use of it. Matt Thompson is going to bring up the resolution itself and actually have the language in front of us as we propose certain changes.
Okay.
I want to just address directly the requests that the city made in her Tessa's conclusions were that we modify required revisions 3, 10, 14, and 16 and remove 17, 18, and 20. Item number two, do you know where it is?
Okay.
Yeah. Item number two, again, this will be on the screen, but you're also welcome to follow it in supplemental sheet three. We agree that there is probably some unintended consequences of converting a voluntary program into one that's not voluntary.
And this is item number three, Dominic. You said two.
Item number three, right. Sorry.
Bullet two.
Yeah. So bullet two indicates this commitment, and we're proposing that we strike the second bullet and achieve the other components of that requirement. Item number 10. We recognize that there's a great deal of uncertainty associated with all of these BMPs, but we also consider the a way to approach this might be to provide for the city to develop a plan or a schedule in the next 6 months to indicate their process for identifying some of these issues you were talking about, the jurisdictional issues, the extent of the problem, and necessary permitting issues. So we're going to add, I think Matt's adding the language, that we provide a schedule within 6 months of swamp approval indicating earlier completion of the BMP. On item number 14, this regards the landfill, and we're prepared to allow the city to continue with its arrangement under contract with the consultants on the time frame that they proposed. So we'll change the timing back to 3 and 5. But one of the reasons we're doing this is because the city did take action since the problem was first identified by removing certain quantity of sediment from the basins. So that the issue of capacity has been addressed to some extent. But the other real important reason is that the city is under permit. It's under a WDR for its waste discharge requirements for its landfill. And any violation of the terms and conditions of that waste discharge requirement will be enforceable. And so any delay in addressing these issues, they're effectively doing so at their own risk of enforcement or separate permit.
Could we add and to complete implementation? No later than year 5. I think the city said they were.
They indicated they were prepared to do that, so that seems reasonable.
Thanks.
On item number 16, really items 16 through 18 are at the core of our requirements regarding hydro modification. Generally, we believe that they need to stand in order for this swamp to be included, in order for the swamp to be determined to meeting maximum extent practical, and to protecting water quality, which are the two goals of the Clean Water Act for this program. But we do, we wanted to point out that the suggestion that the city made that we strike the last sentence from item 16. You know, the city will have adequate development review and permitting or other enforceable mechanisms to implement quantifiable measures for hydro modification control suggest a certain misunderstanding that without the enforceable mechanisms, this wouldn't have any teeth at all. It would just be an expectation without any real commitment. And so we don't propose a change to 16. We consider the language in item 17 it could benefit from an improved clarity. And what we're proposing to do then is change some specific language about four lines down. And Matt, you want to go ahead and do the change, and I'll talk about it, I guess. We would have the criteria. The regional board would have an opportunity to review the proposed criteria. And then we would change the BMP to state that the proposed criteria must be as effective as the February 15th and July 10th criteria. Effectiveness, hopefully providing the kind of the, hopefully being interpreted by the city and third parties for that matter, to mean that the regional board will actually examine the effectiveness of the proposed criteria and compare those. Pardon me? Staff will compare, regional board staff will compare the proposed criteria to our February 15th criteria in terms of effectiveness, not in terms of being identical or being equivalent in terms of numeric equivalency. We're hoping that the term effectiveness should relieve some of that anxiety about compliance. And I believe that is the extent of that change, right?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just want to follow up on that saying, adding that language at the end, which I can't read from here, so I'm going from memory, but it essentially says we're going to evaluate the criteria that the municipalities submit to us, the municipalities' proposed criteria, with respect to our February 15th and July 10th letters. And we understand that a municipality may come up with something that is different than what's in those letters, but it needs to be as effective as those letters. They may come up with something that we haven't thought of and does not include the types of numeric criteria that are in the letters. We realize that, and we're willing to consider that. We're open to it. We don't consider what was written in those letters to be criteria. In fact, they're not criteria. They're information in a letter.
But the effective standard is 5%. And that in and of itself is not flexible. Is that right? The flexibility is in how they achieve that. It may not be with having 95% of a surface area of a property being pervious. It might be some other way that they achieve the 5%.
No, the 5% could be different as well.
As long as the effect is the same.
Yeah. Right. It's quite possible that in a particular hydrologic context, a 5% EIA and a 20% EIA provide the same degree of protection. That's what we're willing to consider. We're also willing to consider that a completely different parameter or numeric criteria could demonstrate similar effectiveness in terms of treatment of stormwater and retention of volume.
And so the reason why you rejected the city's offer of a 25% figure is that it didn't have the technical foundation to support it?
Correct.
Okay.
And I believe that they are on the verge of being able to provide that. I don't consider a year to be burdensome in terms of providing some technical information that supports that. I mean, well, I should mention that there's actually contradictions within the swamp and within the letters from the city regarding the infiltration capacity of their soils. On one level, they say that all the runoff from residential properties are infiltrated on site. In another place, they say there's no infiltration possible. So clearly, they need to get their information organized in a manner they can present in a convincing manner.
What about the need for a technical advisory committee to help these Phase 2 permittees with these technical issues?
I can respond to that, Dominic, if you'd like.
Yeah, sure.
We're already talking to the State Board about putting together a technical advisory committee and other parties as well, including our own LID Center. So we're definitely open to that idea. We're already pursuing it, and we're interested in doing that, and we'd like to pursue it separate from the adoption of this permit or any other permit. I would recommend that the board not include a requirement within this permit, within this resolution, to form that technical advisory committee or delay your consideration of adopting this pending some outcome from a technical advisory committee. And I would remind the board what you directed us a year ago is that you did not want to stop the enrollment process based on a stakeholder process. Mm-hmm. And you know, we agree with that. And that doesn't mean that we're not committed to the stakeholder process and technical advisory committee process. That's one of the reasons why we formed the Low Impact Development Center itself. So we are going to pursue it. And in fact, we are already pursuing it.
Well, but our effort shouldn't be dependent just on the State Board.
Correct.
Because who knows how long it'll take them to respond to us.
Right. And we you know, that's why I am recommending that you not delay action
right
today on something that the State Board might do or that a stakeholder process might come up with. That doesn't mean we're not committed to doing it. We will pursue it.
Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah, a couple things. I'm a little bothered by the inclusion in here. This is just sort of a matter of form, of reference to the two letters. You say the interim criteria stated in these two letters. Don't you think it would be cleaner if you just stated what the interim criteria are instead of referring to two letters that include other information that have nothing to do with number 17? So, you know, I mean, it makes it a lot clearer, and people don't have to go to another document they may not have.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you just state what those criteria are that you're talking about?
Well, I think...
Well, perhaps you could set it up as an attachment.
No.
It gets referenced so that it's the same information with every swamp.
They're lengthy criteria.
Oh,
remember,
okay.
That was the attachment to the July letter.
No, I know.
That can't be just copied.
Oh, so this can't be lengthy?
Well, I mean,
but the attachment can be. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
No.
I just...
go ahead.
I just think this is a little confusing and not very user-friendly. I'd like to see if you say the interim criteria, why not just say what that interim criteria is? That's my concern.
Mr. Chairman, we may want to ask counsel to respond to that. That's one of a thought I had, is that instead of referring to the letters, you could take the language from the letter and just insert it here or insert it somehow as an attachment and
concept.
The language in attachment one or it's or something that is as equivalent.
Yeah, I think, and that's exactly what I'm getting. It could be an attachment as long as the attachment is just that criteria you're talking to about and not a letter that includes a whole bunch of other stuff that has nothing to do with 17. So people have to sort of guess what you're talking about in the letter.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hunter?
I have a comment. I want to make a response to Michael's information about the formation of the advisory committee. sit back for a minute.
Okay, but before we get to that, I think we should just try to conclude this thought, because...
Yeah, but I don't want to let go of Michael's comment.
Look what Francis had.
Right. To do that, I would suggest in the letter it has your swamp must include an array of best. It has a section that lists 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you could pull those out into an attachment and then have that required revision say the proposed criteria must be as effective.
That's fine.
As the attachment. As set forth in attachment.
Yeah, the attachment should include only those interim criteria that you're talking about.
I think that makes sense.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can we go ahead and do that so that there's no ambiguity?
Okay.
Francis, could you go ahead and point Matt to the place to include the language and give him the language? Your mic's not on.
We can't hear you.
The proposed criteria must be effective as set forth in attachment number, whatever it is. And then in that attachment, you would take page four through
February 15th.
6 of the February 15th letter.
I think it's just page four, frankly. It's just page four, Roman numeral one, is the criteria that has been of distress to people.
Okay. Then you could probably just stick that right into this.
Isn't it all of Roman numeral one? Just to be specific, all of Roman numeral one goes to page five, completed on page five.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of different things here. Roman numeral one.
This was my point exactly.
Yeah.
The criteria that's been of interest in this today's hearing are the three bulleted items under Roman numeral one.
Okay.
There's been a discussion about the components of a larger, more robust set of criteria. But when they're talking about 5% EIA, 1% hydrograph matching, time of concentration, and drainage density, they were talking about this specific set of bullets here.
You could just put that right into that table right there. That item number one, bullets 1, 2, and 3, or the three bullets, or as an attachment. Either way.
Yeah, we're talking about 5 or 6 lines of text that we could easily just put right into this required revision.
Great.
Okay, we don't need. Now that we're talking about just Roman numeral one, we'll just, if you could just trust us to take that text, we'll pop it right into this language that's required revision. I think that's what you're asking.
I think it's clear enough that just to state that you'll take those item one and the three bullet down to the bottom of the three bullets and put it in there.
Okay. There's a pending question on the Technical Advisory Committee, and then there was one item as well that we were going to address.
Yeah, thank you, Dominic. I'm very happy to hear that this idea is already taking shape. I'm not clear why the State Water Board, while we're waiting for them, but for whatever reason, their involvement is going to be helpful and important as long as they see it our way, I guess. But I would like to propose and think about the LID Center. I mentioned this in regard to some other issues to Chair Young, that we have an LID Center now. We can, through that entity, establish leadership not only in recognizing these very specific needs that are coming up in the context of our own process, but that we also then target grants and other support. I know what's going on here. Grants and other support to allow us to move forward on this without waiting for state money or federal money to make that happen specifically through that route. I mean, you know, be more aggressive. What's going on with my mic?
You lost the windscreen.
Oh. I think I made my point, though.
Yes, Dr. Hunter, I heard you, and I'm taking notes, and you know we will pursue it in any way we can, including looking at various sources of funding.
But Michael, I just want to emphasize that I think it's important that happen sooner than later, because I think that there's going to be lots of technical assistance needed, perhaps with these phase two swamps that we're going to start to enroll. And so, you know, some of the issues that we've heard may be a matter of confusion or misunderstanding, or may be very legitimate issues with respect to technical feasibility and applicability. And so we need to try to get that flushed out, you know, as quickly as we can.
I agree.
Okay.
So the last item the city requested be stricken from the resolution was item 20, and they indicated that it's a tall order to engage in a form of watershed planning that I guess is relatively unfamiliar to many people, and furthermore that they're a relatively small component of the broader San Ynez River watershed. And I think what more and more evidence is supporting is that the isolated approach to managing stormwater, either whether it's hydro modification or whether it's pollutant containment and control, is not working. That there has to be these integrated approaches. The notion that it could be a voluntary program, I think, is unfortunately misguided. The basin plan is actually full of shoulds and should do this and should do that, and the shoulds tend to not happen. On a voluntary basis, these are important goals, and yet they aren't pursued. We consider item 20 to be something that needs to remain in this resolution. We believe that not knowing how to do something is not necessarily an excuse to not trying. And we're going to propose that we leave that in.
Can I ask you a question about that? If do we have any other phase two folks in this watershed?
There'll be Buellton and San Ynez coming up.
Okay. I understand that volunteer stuff usually doesn't get done, but I think in this case, because you really need a whole bunch of folks to get involved, not just the phase two folks, but the county folks and other interested people in the watershed. You need to bring them all together. And I think while the volunteer approach often doesn't work, also, you know, making a requirement of two or three of those entities to do it under penalty of whatever isn't really fair either, because how are they going to then get the other folks involved? And it's sort of not fair. So I would like to, I mean, I personally, you know, staff can do what they want, but I would like to see this as more of an encouragement thing, and maybe, you know, staff can meet with some of these folks, help the, especially the phase two folks, because they're the ones that are dealing with us right now, try and get them together to sort of pull a watershed group together. Lots of watersheds have watershed-wide groups that meet and do regional, you know, watershed-wide plans. So this isn't new or anything, and it's something that if there isn't a watershed group in this watershed, it's unusual. I mean, most watersheds nowadays do have groups. So maybe these folks just need some help getting together and seeing what the issues are. And I don't know. I mean, maybe there already is a watershed group, but I'm a little concerned with making this a
a requirement of a few folks in the watershed. And, you know, I can be talked out of that, but...
What if it was a requirement for every Phase II permit within this same watershed?
Right.
That they share this requirement and that they need to work together?
Well, that's fine, but then you're talking about three different jurisdictions in a watershed that may have, you know, a whole suite of other stakeholders and jurisdictions. So at that point, you're still not dealing with it on a watershed-wide basis. You're dealing,
But there's another large jurisdiction, which is Santa Barbara County, and we've already heard how actually the county facilities are intertwined with Lompoc's flood control.
So why don't we make them do it?
I think they'd be a part of this effort, and we could have asked Tom when he was here, but I think the fact that they were here talking about the Lompoc item is an indication that they are interested in that. And I also point out that what this says is it requires the city to state how and when the city will work on these things. So they can say, well, we'll get together with the other Phase II communities, we get together with the county, and start to work on these things. And again, I think there's a lot of, like we're saying about some of these previous item numbers, there's a lot of flexibility already built into that language.
Okay.
Roger, the county doesn't fall under this permit throughout the entire...
No.
It's really only in certain areas that the county has swamp requirements. And so, you know...
No, but I'm saying that their facilities are intertwined with the city's facilities.
But when we talk about the watershed, then we're talking about areas that don't fall under any permit. They're just out there.
As far as
and they may be impacting,
right?
You know, stormwater.
Right.
How do you get a handle on that?
Well, the county's involved in the watershed, not just by virtue of their stormwater program, but they're very involved in the watershed. They have three dams on the watershed, and there's a fisheries effort in terms of steelhead restoration in the watershed. So I think there are lots of opportunities, and we're asking the city to be a part of those efforts and cooperate to the extent that they can with these other entities in the watershed. And
I don't have a problem with asking them to do that. I just have a problem with mandating them to do it.
But it's saying the city would say how and when they would do this.
Okay. So I guess they're like, you know, the other guys didn't want to do it, so...
And I'd like to add to that discussion. It's watershed protection efforts, which can be very local. Watershed management may be coming into this, and I don't think that is at all what we're asking the city to do. If there is a watershed group, that would be great to introduce that question into their dialogue, but I think watershed protection occurs at the point of, you know, high-profile priority problems. If the city identifies priority problems within the context of their jurisdiction, they're going to remedy it. They're going to propose a BMP or undertake technical assessments for what to do. That's a watershed protection effort. So we're not asking them to coordinate management and overall show improvement in the watershed. But I think those are the kinds of steps that the Stormwater Management Program offers toward the Water Board achieving its goals and meeting its mandate to see on a regional scale watersheds overall improving. And it's place by place.
Michael.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind the board that at a recent meeting, the board considered a basin plan amendment that changed language from should do something, municipalities should do something, to municipalities shall do something. And the reason for the change was that the thing that the basin plan was requiring wasn't being done. And those words should were in the basin plan for 25 years. And when we asked the municipalities why they weren't doing it, they said, because it says should and not shall.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, but I think it depends on what we're asking too. I think we need to look at that, and whether that's reasonable. Also, whether that is a real priority for us here, given all the other shalls that we're putting in here. I don't know.
As far as, I think it's a valid question, valid point. I also think that it's interesting that a lot of what we have heard today is the various municipalities stressing to you how eager they are to get together and talk about these things and resolve things. This would be part of that.
Then it's probably not even necessary. They're so eager.
If that eagerness is, if it's real and people really are excited about doing that, then this, to look at it a different way, this requirement certainly wouldn't be onerous.
Okay. Dominic, anything else? Dr. Hunter.
I'm sorry if I missed it, but did you address revision item number 18? Or was that grouped together with 17? I may have missed that.
18. Well, we propose leaving it in. We consider it a fundamental...
So no revisions or changes.
No change proposed.
Okay.
So I would just conclude by recommending that the board adopt the resolution with these changes, enrolling the city under the program and approving their swamp.
When would that be required though? After what? Which year? Year one, two, three. That's a five-year?
Yeah, the HMP.
Number 18.
Yeah. Long-term hydro modification criteria that are derived from a more involved technical assessment is a longer-term commitment.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Briggs.
I don't think you addressed item 12 in the resolution. Specifically,
the city didn't ask us to address that.
They did object to it, and I just want to point out that we have a disagreement betwixt the two attorneys, our council and the city's council, in that our language that's proposed here in the middle of the paragraph on the bottom of page two of the resolution says, although not required, the board has considered factors and goes on to describe that. So, there's a fundamental disagreement there.
Which item are you talking about?
On item 12.
Finding 12.
Yeah. Finding 12 of page 2.
Oh, finding 12. Oh, I was going to, before you start deliberating, I was going to make a few comments.
Okay.
Okay, well.
Like me too.
So, I'll like I said, we have a difference of opinion in terms of our councils on that one. But nevertheless, we go on to discuss those factors. And, Mr. Chair, you asked, well, what specifically is the beef? And the city pointed out this next to the last sentence of the whole thing, the use of hydro modification controls will protect water quality, which is necessary to support housing, and saying that you didn't necessarily consider that. And I would point out that Dr. Hunter actually made a comment that is almost identical to that earlier, and I don't think you were just parroting what was in here. You were kind of stating the obvious.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a broader sense, one of my kind of core principles in looking at water quality and making very tough decisions, costly decisions, often, is in understanding that ultimately protecting water quality is a very important component of protecting California's water supply. And I understand that almost every municipality, every county has mandates to provide housing. And yet, when you look at the details, almost everywhere, housing is constrained by available water. We no longer have the luxury of piping it in to meet our housing requirements. So to my mind, that raises the level and the importance and the benefit of protecting water quality. So that's the linkage that I look for and that I think the regional board has a huge role to play in a long-term sense in protecting California's economic growth, population growth needs, and meeting water supply demands in a very big picture. So that was the point I was bringing in. And frankly, I hadn't realized that 12 was, I hadn't looked at the language in 12 when I made that comment.
So I think it points out that while that's that was the one area that the city singled out as being objectionable in this finding, and it's something that the board has been dealing with for quite a long time and has been supportive of the concept. I imagine that there might be a difference in terms of looking at a big picture versus on a site-specific basis, but then that gets back to the fact that there is flexibility in terms of what the exact site-specific hydro modification controls should be for the city. So there's flexibility in dealing with that built into this approval resolution. And Francis wanted to add to that.
Well, I wanted to just summarize some of the legal issues that have come up. The first one of the comments was that requiring these hydro modification controls goes beyond the federal standard, which is the maximum extent practicable. And I, as Ms. Dunham stated, we would disagree about that, and I do disagree with the city's conclusion about that for several reasons. One is that, first, if you look at the federal regulations, it sets forth these six minimum standards, one of which is post-construction stormwater controls. And specifically in the regulations, it refers to controlling runoff to pre-construction conditions. And it doesn't say you absolutely must do that, but it says you're supposed to attempt to do that. The second reason why I believe that requiring hydro modification controls does not go beyond maximum extent practicable standard is the state board's permit, which is the permit that once you approve this stormwater management plan, they will be enrolled in, specifically refers to the post-construction stormwater management and discusses low-impact design, source controls, and treatment controls, which were all the kinds of things to be addressed by hydro modification. The third part is that the State Water Board adopted an order a couple years ago called, referred to as the SUSMP order, and I'm not quite sure, those are initials SUSMP, which I think was their term for stormwater management plan, which specifically allowed the regional board to impose numeric criteria, and the regional board did impose numeric criteria. You aren't even going that far. You're saying, here's some recommended, you know, essentially you're saying, here's some recommended numeric criteria, but you, city, go back and figure out what's appropriate for you and come back with something that meets, you know, reasonably equivalent or that is as effective as those numeric criteria that you just discussed as being an amendment to the required revisions. So when you look at that and some other case law about this, and the aspect that the standard, the maximum extent practicable, is an iterative standard that takes into account what's gone on in the past. And I think what the staff is telling you is that a lot has happened in the last 5 years since this permit was adopted, and this will keep these phase two permittees up to speed with what's currently going on. And so, anyway, so I believe that requiring the hydro modification controls is consistent with federal law and does not go beyond federal law. And that's an important point because what the city has argued is that if you're requiring something that goes beyond federal law, then you must consider these factors in Section 13241. And while I don't believe that you have to consider the factors, this finding number 12 that we added to your proposed resolution is intended to demonstrate that for the stage that you're in this process, which is directing them to come up with hydro modification controls, the staff and the board have actually, in fact, looked at those factors. And it's a somewhat awkward or somewhat weird application of those factors, because the statutory provision in the Water Code is actually about the adoption of water quality objectives. not the adoption of a permit, and this is essentially the adoption of a permit. But as Ms. Dunham pointed out, the state Supreme Court has said if you go beyond federal law, you need to consider those factors. And I don't believe you're going beyond federal law, but I do also believe that this hearing and the record of the regional board makes clear that you have, in fact, considered those factors, and there are quite a lot of discussion today about some of those factors. Anyway, so that was what I wanted to say about the legal requirements. And then I just had to answer a couple more things. One is that Ms. Dunham pointed out in the resolution order, the order part, or the hereby resolved number 3 refers to 13383 of the water code, which is the part of the water code that deals with the federal law. And that particular provision says you can require reporting. So I think it's totally appropriate to refer to that section. Another way to do it would be to order them to submit a report of waste discharge when they come back with a revised plan, but I think that's a little bit overkill, and that it's reasonable to require them to report on that they have in fact revised their plan. The third thing that Ms. Dunham mentioned was the process for reviewing when they come up with hydro modification controls. Is there a process that can be reviewed? And I think that's a reasonable point, and it would possibly be characterized as an amendment to their stormwater management plan, which you could, if you want, say that's subject to the opportunity for a public hearing back to the board to revise the plan to incorporate the hydro modification controls in order to assure that they do get it's not just the staff saying you shall do this, but in fact an opportunity for the board to look at it.
And when would that take place? Is that after 1 year?
Well, they have, I think, and I'm still a little bit unclear about this, but item 16 was to say within a year they're supposed to come back, but I'm not sure if they're supposed to come back with the actual hydro modification interim criteria or come back with a plan of how to do that, but there would be some point that they would come back with those criteria.
Yeah, they're supposed to come back within a year with proposed criteria, but the schedule they produce needs to allow for the staff, water board staff, to review those criteria for a minimum of 3 weeks. So we would essentially need 3 weeks before we could apply them, because we'd need that time to review them. So
I have a question for Francis.
1 year plus 3 weeks.
Francis, when you were saying that there was some requirements that were more than the federal minimum, and then you said, well, they're really more recommendations. Are you talking about the 5%?
Right. The staff's, the February 15th and July 5th
so those
letter
are really
said,
more like
here's
rec-
what, if you don't do, okay. Essentially, if you don't do this, we're going to recommend to the board to not approve it. But
okay.
But in reality, they're saying, here's these kind of recommended.
These are our recommendations.
And now with your proposed revision, it would be,
So why don't we say in number 17, number 3 there, I'm on the page 10 of the chart, 3 weeks, number 3, 3 weeks to allow for water board staff's review of the proposed criteria relative to the recommended criteria attached.
Well, I think that right up there is the proposed change. No, that's not the right one.
I know, but I'm just asking staff if they have a problem with saying it's recommended criteria. I mean,
well,
the word
proposed there is supposed to be
instead of
city's
interim
proposed criteria.
Go ahead.
This provision is about within a year. The city should come up with some interim criteria so that projects don't go forward based on the current status.
So
and then
they
come up with long-term.
So is the 5% as stated in the letter, that's an interim criteria?
No,
that's what it says
here. The 5%.
That's what it says in the original. I mean, not in that changed one, maybe. It says, to the interim criteria stated in the executive officer's February 15th. Now, that sounds to me
like the February 15th and July 10th letters, are establishing some interim criteria till something else happens. But now you're telling me that really what was stated in those letters was only recommended criteria, not...
Well, what the staff is proposing here is that the interim criteria just refers to sometime before they establish the long-term criteria number 18, they'll have some minimal interim criteria so that when developments go forward before they've established the long-term, they'll follow that. So the interim criteria is what would be called these things they come up with in a year.
But the 5% is not in an interim.
No, the 5% is just... The staff is saying, here's our proposed numeric criteria. You can use our proposed ones, or you can come up with some other ones that are at least as effective.
See, because before you made that change, it did say that the interim criteria was stated in the two letters.
The term interim criteria there is purposeful. What Water Board staff included in the February letter were those three bullets, about 5%, et cetera.
Right, right.
And we didn't intend for those to be the long-term hydro modification criteria for anybody. We were proposing those to be used as a set of alternative interim criteria should the cities not develop their own interim criteria.
Interim criteria should the cities, okay, as opposed to interim criteria until they do.
Right.
Right.
Okay, that part, okay.
So I think it's clarified by the strikeouts here because we removed the interim criteria phrase and we talk about the city's proposed criteria, and then we could repeat interim criteria there. But
and we remove reference to the February 15th and July 5th letters.
Well,
yeah,
that's
so
important.
Back to the
okay, good. Okay, thank you. Okay. That clears that up.
Anything else, Francis?
I think that's it.
I have a few more things.
Oh, I think it was just what process to have so that Ms. Dunham's concern was that so the city comes up with these interim criteria and then the staff would look at them and see are they effective and say no, what's their appeal process? And that's why I would suggest that you could put in here that they could have direct that they could have an opportunity to come to the board and have review of those interim criteria.
I think that we should provide for that so that they have an opportunity at that juncture to contest it.
Right.
And there wouldn't be any questions.
And the other option is just leave this as is. They can file a petition with the state board and ask it be held in abeyance and then come to you and ask for a hearing. So. Okay, so and so maybe you could just add the staff's approval would be subject in your resolution. The staff's review would be subject to regional board hearing or something like that.
Okay, upon
that would be in the resolution.
Upon their request,
right?
Upon the city's request.
That's what I wanted.
And I'll look for a spot to put that.
That goes in the resolution. In the resolution findings, or the findings, or the results, or wish I could see it.
I'm going to look and see where.
Findings. Seems like that will be in the therefore be resolved. Yeah.
Could follow any.
So that covers all the recommended changes? Okay. So that's it for all our recommended changes.
Okay.
Then.
Mr. Shallcross.
Okay, a couple more quick ones. The city was complaining about some late additions. Are those resolved on the part of the city? I mean, are you still complaining about these? I mean, I agree. I mean, you're presented with something at the meeting that's different. So is there some concerns there still?
Sure.
Not about the fact that it was late. I mean, they can make recommendations right now that we put in, so it's really not late. But as to the substance, not the form.
All those were, the additional finding, by the way, was sent to the city yesterday, midday.
Yeah, I'm fine. I don't have a problem with that.
I guess, I'm sorry, Mr. Shallcross, I'm confused. You're referring to our comments with regards to the findings or the inclusion of...
Well, in this, okay.
I think what we were referring to...
In number three here, you were objecting because the resolution had some changes in it that you hadn't seen till just recently.
That would have been finding number 12. I think what we were also looking at on page number 4, you will see before the resolution, right before the resolution, obviously the quote from the federal regulations is fine, but down below the quote from the federal regulations, there are some references to Eco Northwest, the economics of low-impact development, and basically, as far as I can tell, these are references to perhaps support some of the findings in the resolution, but they were added yesterday.
Okay.
So it's, you know, a little concerning that...
aside from the fact they were added yesterday, do you have issues with what was added?
I don't know. I haven't had the opportunity to review this report to determine if I would have issues with it or not. It's being submitted as evidence to support the regional board's findings, but we have had no opportunity to review it to determine whether we would agree or disagree with the information within those reports.
I see. Okay. So then really it becomes a matter of an appeal. I mean, it looks to me like they're putting this in here to support their statement.
Well, they're your statements, Mr. Shallcross.
The statement of the document.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. And then... there's something that was brought up earlier that I really wish would get addressed more directly, and that's this whole issue of redevelopment and how what we're doing here may somehow squelch redevelopment, keep it from happening, make it less attractive to do than new development. And I thought we had handled this issue because it came up in the Salinas stormwater plan, I know. And so, you know, I haven't heard anyone on staff actually say, no, here's how it's going to work. Here's how it's really going to help redevelopment. And that's not going to happen. So,
well, the first response is that the city's in a position to develop applicability criteria for the application of any hydro modification controls that they develop. Their applicability criteria could identify constraints within redevelopment context which would make the application of those controls infeasible or unacceptable on some level. However, there really isn't any demonstrated, you know, case after case example of developers being driven from the urban core by requirements for stormwater management. The requirements are going into effect up and down this state, and they've gone into effect throughout the other parts of the country, and particularly the Northwest. And so there's been no evidence that, you know, this promotes a sprawl effect. I mean, on its face, it would appear that if you applied the same set of criteria everywhere, there would be some disadvantages and perhaps some disincentives to try to do it in these more constrained contexts. But the very fact that the city has an opportunity to develop its own applicability criteria, I think, is critical. Furthermore, they don't have a lot of evidence to support what they're saying about it promoting sprawl. And thirdly, there's been incredibly brilliant examples of infill development that integrate low-impact development, hydromodification control, that completely achieve the goals of infill development and redevelopment. So I think the general position that they was presented today is not the whole story, and we don't have enough to go on to say that that's the way it's going to go. I mean, that's...
Right. And that, okay, that's it?
And I would add to that they have the opportunity to develop their own hydro modification controls, and part of maximum extent practicable is to consider all those kinds of things. So.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not really happy with that. Okay. Anything else from staff? Okay. Mr. Briggs, I guess we'll bring it back to the board for discussion and discussion of a motion. Any board comments? Mr. Jeffries?
No, I think everything's been covered. The notes I have, I think, between Gary and the staff and our board attorney has covered all the things. One point I did want to make, and to the public, is that the letter that everybody addressed as February's letter was a direction of this board to the staff to put that information down in writing. And that came out of the two meetings of a year ago and also the meeting in December that we had. So the staff had just followed the directions of this board, what we wanted to see, and to proceed.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll entertain a motion if there's no other discussion or comments or questions.
I'll give it a try.
Okay.
I'll move to approve Lompoc Swamp as proposed in the revised resolution to include the amended language that staff just presented and the language that was suggested by the attorney, Francis McChesney.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Yes. 10. We're going to move on to...